There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Bowen.
And we want to introduce you to the new Cantina menu at Taco Bell.
Ooh! It's an all-new chicken menu with fresh new ingredients. Great as a lunchtime option.
Taste for yourself. The slow-roasted chicken, pico de gallo, purple cabbage,
yummy,
and new avocado verde salsa sauce.
Okay! With new menu options like Cantina chicken tacos, burrito, and quesadilla, there's something for everyone.
With this new Cantina chicken menu, the possibilities are endless.
Try the new Cantina chicken menu at Taco Bell.
Do you want to boost the economy like Taylor Swift? Do you want to run a business empire like Rihanna? Intuit is the financial platform that helps everyday people prosper. Intuit helps you take control of your finances through products like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. Whether you're trying to manage your money or trying to run a business, Intuit gives you the confidence to take control of your finances so you can live your best life. Intuit has helped 100 million people live their best financial lives. Visit Intuit.com, Intuit.com to start living yours. Let's get into it.
Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see. Wow.
My, oh, my.
Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Yes. Oh,
my goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong. Las Culturistas calling.
Wow. You are fresh from the fight, as we say.
I want to be just honest, transparent, and just show up in my truth and say that I did not sleep last night. I saw Adele in Vegas and my flight was at 8:35 in the morning. And so it was the energy was so high and kinetic and
uplifting
Bowen, that I said, I'm not going to bed. And I didn't. Was it the right choice?
How could you?
We'll find out.
You won't regret this. Maybe you regret it now, but in 48 hours, you will not.
Mm-mm.
Will not regret.
Well, let me just say one thing to you. This was, and it's like, yeah, okay. Breaking news. Fag sees Adele, says it was best show ever. It really was.
It sucks that you have to sort of qualify it like that, because it really is meaningful that Fag saw Adele. And yet, we're at a point in the culture now where Fag saw Adele is losing its meaning. And so for my best friend to say Fag saw
and
Adele,
and saying that,
it makes me sad that you have to sort of like get ahead of it like that.
It was such a given that it was going to be what it was for me. But when I tell you, I joined up with thousands of people in the openly sobbing community, and everyone in the openly sobbing lately community got together last night to openly sob for 2 hours. While this woman sang, and it was truly, it was like, at a certain point, you have to laugh because you're like, oh yeah, like, isn't it going to be funny when she sings Take It All? Like, isn't that going to be funny what's going to happen to us?
She sang Take It All.
Bowen, not only did she sing Take It All, she executed Take It All. She put us through Take It All.
Oh my God. I can't think about Take It All or I'll cry.
You think I can think about Take It All? What about you thinks I can think about Take It All? And then
I am sorry, I don't know.
Cut too. And I want to say, because podcasts are not a visual medium, I would describe the way I look right now like Fag saw Adele.
Fag saw Adele.
Like I got punched in the head repeatedly by music. Punched in the head repeatedly by music.
Fag saw Adele is a hate crime in Nevada.
And that's a rule of culture. That's rule of culture number 20.
Fag saw Adele is a hate crime in Nevada.
Take it all. First of all, I'm just kind of stuck on this one number. This was so fucking good. And I just cried and cried and cried because, you know what? Whatever. It's common knowledge amongst people that listen to this podcast. I genuinely feel like maybe that was a cathartic final thing for me in breakup era.
Yeah.
But like, wow. I mean, just unbelievable the amount of emotion. She knows she's putting you through too. She says at the top, she's like, hey, so sorry. Y'all are about to get fucked up. And she just says it. Everyone looks at each other like, And the openly sobbing community was thriving last night.
I'm so glad.
So unbelievable, Bowen. It was so unbelievable.
I haven't been part of OSC for a long time. I have not openly sobbed. I've sobbed in the past week, but not openly. I've sobbed in front of my therapist on Zoom.
We sobbed on the phone.
We sobbed on the phone. I sobbed on patient portal sessions is what I sobbed.
Oh, wow. Oh, no.
Oh, God. Thursday was a bad day. We don't have to get into it.
Don't I know it, honey.
But didn't Channing Nicholas say, and you and I checked in about this, Channing Nicholas said,
say that.
It is a sharp, jagged cliff of a week. You're not going to want to dive into the ocean when you know there are sharp rocks in the water. So tread lightly, literally, just carefully walk through the week because there are going to be hazards. And indeed there were. And you and I might have even touched a sharp point on our own paths. Do you know what I'm saying?
I think you and I needed to have Thursday. Because Thursday was, I'm going to say Thursday of last week, if you're listening to this on Wednesday, was one of the worst days ever.
I'm so sorry.
And Channing Nicholas said, confirmed that was astrologically written in the stars, Aida, one of the worst weeks anyone could ever have. And when I said that to my sister and checked in with people about it, they were like, we are all feeling it.
Yeah.
And
everyone went through it. Talking to Ego last night, Alex,
our guest,
he better have had a terrible week.
I'm sure that our guest had a fucking awful week.
Let's check in with him about this in a second. I am so excited our guest is here. Our guest is one of those people, I think he was always someone that like you and I looked up to, still do. I mean, every time he posts something, and I hate that I'm like verbalizing posts in a way that like just the word post on a linguistic level does not match like the act of posting. Post.
I think that you're right.
Post is reserved for the male.
Ultimately, though, I'm very happy about post. Because when our guest does post, deign to post, I would say effortless star. Incredibly gifted, funny, hilarious young man. And I would also say, you know, it's not an apology to the readers, but it is a recognition that there is a community. So there's the openly sobbing community, and then there's a large community of people in our fan community, the readers, who are actually actively angry and upset that this has taken this long. I agree with them. I see you. I hear you. And we've rectified it. This is an incredible moment. Bowen, our guest recently was in the film Megan. And I have something to say about the way that the fates had it with his character in Megan. And I want to run something by him. But first of all, that was the film of the year.
Film of the year. You know him from Will and Grace. You know him from, oh my God, The Gay and Wondrous Life of Caleb Gallo. Huge, formative culture for a generation. It's true.
Among many other things.
Of course, there's Timothy, there's TJ Mack, husband, there's the wife, there's Marnie T. There's just this universe of characters who you must intimately get to know if you haven't already.
We're very lucky women.
We're very lucky women this week. And let's check in with him and see if he had a terrible week. Why don't we? Okay. So everyone, please welcome into your ears, Brian Jordan Alvarez.
Hi.
Oh
my God. That was the best introduction. That was the most flattering introduction I've ever heard.
Deserved.
Thank you guys. You guys are the best. Wow.
How was your last week?
You know, I think it was bad.
It was bad.
I'm trying to, when you guys were saying that, I was like, oh my God, they're so right. And then I was trying to remember if it was. Oh, no. Yeah, I fell completely ill. I had a horrible stomach flu.
Oh, no.
I recovered. And then I just went and like took some time in nature yesterday and the earlier part of today. And then I just came back to the city and I was so mad. I'm in New York right now for work. And I was so mad to come back into Manhattan. I had to drop my brother-in-law lent me his car. So I had to drop his car off in like Soho. And I accidentally went, I was trying to make a turn in Soho. I was in Soho And no. I was trying to make a turn and I was almost there and I accidentally went into the Holland Tunnel and I had to go over all the way to Jersey City.
To Jersey?
And come all the way back. Yeah, yeah. But it's
what a nightmare.
No.
It has been a wild week. It really is in the stars.
It was beyond us. And
how did you guys experience it? But you ended it in this incredible way at the Adele concert.
I have to tell you, like, I really, I can't, it, and it's like, it's so stupid to be like, guys, see Adele. You know what I mean?
I know. Well, she needs somebody kind of like backing her up.
Yeah,
she does. She
saying,
does.
Like, go to the show, you know?
Yeah, she needs me out here pushing it. Like, this is an ad for Weekends with Adele. No, it was just that thing of like, it was a place where people came to literally just... At one point, I just turned around and I was, you can see my face right now. I am swollen. I turned around. I made eye contact.
You don't look swollen.
Babe, I turned around. I made eye contact with a woman who maybe was in her 50s. And she just looked at me. We made eye contact for about 3 solid seconds. She nodded like me. And she was just like, yeah, me too. Like turning tables is also doing it to me right now. So she's like, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think I reached out and grabbed her hand. And then like I feel closer with the friends that I went with. I went with my friends Reed, Cliff, and Gus. Like we were, I have to thank the universe.
I mean, if there's anyone to see live.
For sure.
I mean, it's gotta be basically the best voice in the world right now, right?
It's shocking.
Is there another?
And Bowen, you were right there when she did it, because she came to SNL and hosted and sang and was messing around and fucking around. And Bowen got to stand right there.
Yeah, that was fun.
She was just riffing.
It was fun. How was nature? What did you do? Did you go on little walks, hikes?
I did a little bit. I more just like sat in the... I went to Woodstock, New York. Have you guys ever been there?
Oh, yeah. We've heard of that one.
Okay. So I think I typed like upstate New York into Airbnb. This is like my longest... stay
so
in
the,
is
week.
That even upstate? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Like,
Okay, that is upstate. Okay.
Yes, for sure.
Is anything north of the city upstate? Like, when do you start?
I think once you're on Taconic, once you're on the Taconic State Parkway, you're officially upstate, baby. And I will not do that again. You were there alone?
I was there alone. Yeah, I stayed like in sort of a cabin by myself, and I was slightly worried that I was going to be murdered. But
yeah. It's too scary. It's too scary.
Nice. I know. I was like, oh, I should have just stayed in a hotel. Why did I choose like a house with glass doors on all the, you know, that's fine. I slept the light on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's incredibly dark too.
It gets really dark. Yeah. I know. Yeah.
You said this is your longest time in the city?
So yeah, I have an interesting history with New York because I was born here and I lived here until I was 4 because my dad used to run the Roosevelt Island Tramway. Do you guys know that tramway?
Yes.
It's like a cable car that goes out to Roosevelt.
Yes, of course.
Island. Yeah.
He used to run it?
He was the king of that?
he was the king. Yeah, that is a country and he was the king. Yeah. He like managed that for many years. But then we moved to like rural Tennessee. And basically, I've been sort of an LA actor in my adulthood, so I haven't done the New York thing, but now I'm here writing, and so it's cool to sort of be in the city and have a job in the city and feel like a real city girl. But then you, like everyone in the city, feel like you have to get out of the city, and so I've had to get out of the city.
Yeah,
you know, it's so much city in every direction. It's like
everything everywhere all at once. And then you really do become that person who Googles upstate New York.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
But
the thing about upstate New York and the thing about that, and I'm guessing it did work for you. You know what I mean? You went out and got into nature.
It did, except I was mad having to come back. But yeah, it actually worked shockingly well.
It does.
I was there last night. I was like, this is corny how much better I feel instantly. And how I am kind of ready to go back to the city, you know, almost.
Right? It was I went to Adele and actually cried, get this. You know what I mean? I went upstate and it worked. Nature actually was healing.
Exactly. Where did you see Adele now? Vegas?
Las Vegas, Nevada. At Caesars.
How many nights did you spend in Vegas?
2, because you can't do more than that.
I find Vegas incredible. I feel so corny for loving it as much as I do.
Title of ep. I find Vegas incredible.
What's not great about
I agree.
Yeah.
It's so fun. It's just like, God, I guess it is. It's sort of billed as an adult playground. And everything is so insane. I mean, especially Caesar's Palace.
Stupid.
Like, It's so big. You're like, how big is this? You're just walking in it for like miles. You're like, that's still Caesar's Palace, and that building is Caesar's Palace. And they have the statue of David, like, I think, in there.
Yeah,
the fake one.
That's right. I feel like we grew up on Ocean's 11, and we grew up on Rat Race, and we grew up on like important Vegas films.
Yeah, yeah.
Vegas and I was
important like, Vegas films like Rat Race.
I think Rat Race is an excellent piece of art.
I never got that into Rat Race, sadly. I watched Ocean's 11, I think, a few times. Rat Race is supposed to be incredible, though, right?
No, it's not. It's not. It's actually quite, I have not watched it since 2004 or something.
Rat Race is one of those movies where it's like you see the trailer for it. I remember being a kid and seeing the trailer for Rat Race, and it was like, you know, Whoopi Goldberg and like so many people. Like I could not name any more people in the cast, but I remember being a kid seeing that ensemble cast and being like, I know that that is one of the greatest films ever made, and I know. And then I remember like the movie came out and it got like a shitty review in like my local paper. I was like, huh, that's gotta be wrong. And that movie looks unbelievable. Cut to years and years.
You're
and
like,
years
I
later.
Have been tracking this project, and I thought it was gonna be great.
I know for a fact that because of my cursory viewing of the trailer as a child, that's one of the greatest films, and I feel personally attacked to read it in my local paper Newsday, Long Island's own Newsday, that there was a 2-star rating. Absolutely not.
Wait, Matt, so you never saw it either?
No.
There's an amazing Kathy Bates cameo.
It was badly reviewed.
It was badly. Oh my god.
No, but Bowen, this is a thing. People love that movie. I think my friend Stephanie loves that movie. I think my boyfriend loves that movie. I think it's like it has a real
cult following.
Yeah, a cult following. Exactly.
It's not quite cult. It's more like an MLM following or something.
It's definitely trying to make you do something else. It's trying to get you to watch some other.
To recruit. Your boyfriend loves it?
Yeah.
So then why haven't you seen it?
Maybe I know. Well, maybe that
because you don't love him.
So yeah, that is going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back.
You need to go to Weekends.
Wait,
with the
I'm
Dell.
Writing this. I'm writing this down.
See, he's writing down Sea Rat Race.
Race. Yeah,
respect my lover. Sea Rat Race.
Respect my man.
Are you missing LA? Do you hate New York over LA?
Finally, I was so New York. I was so into New York I've been here 2 months already. And I've been very vocally in favor of it. I've been like, oh my God, walkable city. Because like my friend Stephanie has this thing. This is maybe slightly morbid, but it's like there's a study about Alzheimer's that says one of the things the two things that help you avoid it the most are talking to people and walking. And New York City just creates these scenarios all the time where you're walking and talking. So there is this sort of healthy thing here in the way of life. But then what started to wear on me was just the real concrete jungle. But I think I also just don't know and it's winter. I don't know which parks to go to, you know. I've heard there's something called Central Park. No, I'm just kidding. I haven't gone to Central Park much. It's so cold out.
You won't. You don't need to go to Central Park. And can I say, like,
when you do, it's quite lovely. I never regret it.
Right, right.
What are you about to say, Matt?
Bowen. Do you know this about me, though? Like, I lived in New York City for 11 years. I've been to Central Park less than 5 times. I lived in the city for 11 years. And I can count literally on one hand the amount of times I've even been there. It's really weird. And I would say that I can say pretty confidently that I've had a full New York experience without having spent a lot of time there.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, you're about to hit spring.
Yeah, it's more of a summer thing anyway, too, right? But there's these other cooler parks that I see people at in the summer, right?
I think you're thinking
that one where they play a movie up on a big building or something.
Bryant. No, wait, is that Bryant Park?
Yeah, they do that at Bryant, and then there's Prospect Park in Fort Greene. McCarran is kind of fun, even though it's flat and there's not much going on besides like running and soccer. I mean, no, parks in New York are quite special. And I take that for granted because I feel like it's not quite as prevalent in other parts of the world. Maybe. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe like San Francisco. The one thing San Francisco has going for it now, I think, is like that Mission Viejo thing. right? Mm-hmm. Is that what it's called? Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Where you like lay and then you see San Francisco sort of in the...
And the gays are running around.
San Francisco gays are obsessed with that park. They really love to let you know they're at that park. Yeah, they're like, hey, we're at this iconic park. Like, come visit San Francisco. It's like me with Adele. Like, they're being paid to advertise for it. But wait, this is what I wanted to ask you about Megan before I forget. Okay, so Megan, yes, yes. Incredible. When you
I saw Megan with friends, and my friend afterward, he was like, "It's definitely a cult. It's a cult hit." And I was like, "It's not a cult hit. No, it's like a
huge
hit.
Movie.
It made money.
Yeah,
made money. Okay.
Say this: like, being gay and enjoying a movie does not make something cult. And that's actually roller coaster number 30.
Being gay and enjoying a movie does not make something cult. Yeah.
You were gay and liked something. So speaking of being gay and in the movie, you get the script, you're like, you're doing it, and then you realize you're not going to die in the movie. And here's my thing. It's like, I thought if I was you in the movie, I would want to get killed by Megan. And I kind of was like, Brian, it feels like this character is getting absolutely fucked up by Megan. And I'm thrilled that you survived, because then you can be Megan 2 Megan's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Megan's whatever's going to happen with Megan going forward, and thrilled for that. But what percentage of you is like disappointed that you didn't get to get fucked up by Megan?
I do get fucked up by her. I don't know.
You really do.
Spoilers, but she there's definitely some violence that she inflicts upon me. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad she didn't kill me, because I want to live on to battle her further, or to sort of engage with her. She's
working actor.
Such a powerful. She's such a woman in business these days. You know. Did you see she's in the new Marc Jacobs campaign?
I saw that.
No,
I'm wrestling with how to feel about it.
Oh, and she has a Marc Jacobs campaign. I wish I could show you.
Oh, that's genius.
Yeah.
What's Drew Barrymore's obsession with Megan? What's that about? Why is Drew like dressing up as her?
I don't know.
The clip of Allison Williams on Drew Barrymore. Well, can we just talk about the Drew Barrymore of it all? I was on the show once, and she was sitting behind a table, so she didn't have the opportunity to do this. That woman will get up out of her chair, crawl over to her guest, get right up in their face.
It happens a lot. Yeah,
it's wild. She is everywhere. She is on the ground, like she is, and with that, and when she dressed up as Megan and got really, really, really close to Allison, I was like, at what point are you just like, where does it start and end?
Right.
Yeah, and she had I think her contact was like sliding off. Or
her eye was fucked.
Contact. Yeah.
Wait. What's Allison like? We're being so stupid.
Yeah, tell us.
She's the best.
We're gay men.
I love Allison. The thing about Allison is she's so smart. And so that part, I think that's why she works so well in that part. Because she's like, she is like an Ivy League, like A++. She's
robotics girl.
She's the real deal.
Genius.
She's a robotics queen. She's a robotics genius. Exactly.
Well, Allison Williams is a robotics genius. That's roller coaster number 44. Allison Williams is a robotics genius. What I love about her is like, she is so self-aware about the Allison Williams thing that literally even the character being named Megan, when Allison's little, like, there's some scenes in the movie where intrinsically the energy is just like, Megan, stop. Stop now.
Yeah, we're not doing this. Right.
Megan off. Yeah.
It is so brilliant. It's just called Megan. It's such a such a normal name on some level. Yeah. No, but Allison was really sweet. She really was just so kind to me. And I think my favorite thing was that she found me funny and I found her really funny. And I was like, Allison Williams thinks I'm funny.
Don't we love that?
That is the highest compliment. But no, how could she not?
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you really are a fucking icon, boo.
Thank you so much. You guys are obviously stars of stage and screen.
No. But it's an event. Anytime something goes up, it's an event in the group chat for us.
Oh.
Where, no, it really is where someone's like, oh, TJ Maxx wife is back. Does she have a
TJ
name?
Maxx wife is back. She doesn't have a name. You guys can name her if you want. TJ
no,
Maxx
no,
wife.
No, absolutely not.
I'm saying so many names in my head right now and nothing feels
what
right.
What is her name?
Rita. Rita.
I almost said Roberta. Jessica. Wait, Bowen, that's so funny that you said Rita because I was living in Roberta land.
Roberta land. Wait, Brian, you were going to say something?
I said Jessica, but I'm wrong.
How can you be
Rita
wrong?
I think Rita and Roberta are good.
You are the creator.
Are you just going into like a flow state? When you do that?
Definitely, yeah. And I need to be doing it more because I'm here, you know, I'm very consumed by, you know, we're writing this TV show right now for FX. It's mm-hmm. very exciting and amazing. But it, you know, speaking of posting, as you guys were, I am like, oh, I'm not posting enough. The pressure to post.
Oh, I know. It's the disease.
But it's like, I love posting, but for me, it comes out of like really sitting in your apartment and scrolling for hours and like you're eating like chicken Alfredo and then you just like make a video in like the laziest space. You know, it's like actually, to me, it's like the closest thing I can conceive of to inspired work. Cause it's like, it's something I'm doing because I want to write when I want to.
Yes.
And then posting it right away, which is like, I often think like, oh, if I would put more planning or energy into these videos, they would maybe do better or I could get more numbers or something. But I'm just like, I don't know. It's like the only way I know how to do it is just off the cuff, you know?
No, but that's perfect because of course it's the most inspired thing because it's you in your like day-to-day life and your slices of life or whatever that you're like, I'm going to post something. I know that sounds like sort of reductive, but that's how it feels to me.
No, that's what it is, exactly.
Well, spring is in full bloom. Are your finances blooming too?
With the Chime Secured Credit Builder Visa credit card, it's easy to start building credit with everyday purchases and regular on-time payments with no annual fees or interest.
And if your credit scores grow, so could your opportunities for lower rates on loans, like for a car or a home.
You know what I love about the Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card?
What?
There are no annual fees, interest, or credit checks to apply.
Yes!
You can use it everywhere Visa credit cards are accepted. Take back your finances. Build credit using your own money.
Yeah. Did you know that with Chime Credit Builder that you can get paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit?
I did. You can also overdraft up to $200 without fees with SpotMe when you set up a qualifying direct deposit. Just set up a qualifying direct deposit, sign up for SpotMe, and Chime will spot you up to your limit when you make a credit card purchase or cash withdrawal that exceeds your balance.
With Chime's secure credit card, you can start improving your credit scores right away. Get started today at Chime.com/culturistas. That's Chime.com/culturistas. Chime. Feels like progress.
The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. members FDIC. Spot me eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal and OTC advance fees may apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to Chime.com/disclosures for details.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly. Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst.
When it comes to travel, we all have that happy place. Whether it's the beach, ski slopes, couples getaway, or even a visit to that best friend you haven't seen in way too long, Matt.
And Priceline wants to get you there for a happy price so you never have to miss a trip. Now, we all know we love to vacation together. We have various happy places. We love to go to Orlando, Florida. We love to go to Las Vegas, Nevada. We love to go to a beach anywhere. We love to go to Europe. Bowen, we have truly traveled the world globally and domestically.
My happy place is with my sister and any of those locations he just listed. And now, thanks to Priceline's VIP family feature, you can go to your happy place more often while earning deals up to 5 times faster with a group.
When one person from the squad travels, everyone gets more deals and you can even choose your own crew. It doesn't have to be your actual family. It could be your neighbor, your roommate, your mailman, anyone. The more you travel, the more you save.
For me, I'm choosing Matt Rogers. I'm choosing producer Becca.
Yes!
Maybe Hans.
We're all going together, the Lost Culture family. So download the Priceline app today to save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your happy place with Priceline.
I demand to know the answer to the question that is sort of the centerpiece of Lost Culturistas. I demand. So, Brian Jordan Alvarez, what was the culture that made you say culture was for you? Because we're talking sort of about how you create, and quite frankly, post-cult. And we want to know, what made her her?
Well, this question to me, what this question means to me...
Yeah, like dissect it.
Well, no, what comes to mind for me is Almodovar movies, but I don't know if that's a satisfying answer.
Have you guys ever seen it.
That's a great answer.
Yeah. Have you guys ever seen All About My Mother, the one that won the Oscar in 99? Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes.
It's so good. To me, that incredible movie, I watched it like maybe 100 times. I've also watched Prometheus like 200 times, which I think a lot of people hate Prometheus. Are you guys have you guys seen Prometheus?
Like Prometheus, the like alien? the alien movie.
I find that movie, first of all, I find that movie very gay. It's like very it has this really perfect aesthetic, and David the robot is very sort of I don't know, maybe gay coded or something.
Fassbender is gay coded in
that. He's definitely serving one way or another.
Yeah. For sure. And also, any movie where Charlize Theron sort of gets like crushed by a big rock.
she's giving real Madonna energy in that movie. She's like really an all powerful being.
Yeah, that movie is such gay culture. But that's so funny that you bring that up, because I remember thinking.
It's really cult.
It's really cult. It's a cult film.
It's a cult classic.
Yeah.
Like Megan.
I will never forget like when that movie, the trailer for that came out. It was a very rat race, because I was like, I know I'm going to see that and absolutely love that. And nothing about that genre of movie is my thing. Like, I don't like to be scared. I do not like science fiction. I don't like to be grossed out. I don't like aliens. I would rather not even talk about whether or not they exist. Like, the UFOs of it all. Like, I don't want to participate in that conversation.
You don't even like talking about whether or not they exist.
No, and I'm actually upset right now. I don't even want to talk about it. But when I saw that movie, and I saw Charlize Theron in that movie, and what's her name? Noomi Rapace? I was I know I have to participate in this culture. And I remember going with, like, people in college, I think, and going to the Union Square Regal and watching Prometheus, and it was a tough sit, because it's scary, it's weird, it's fucked up.
Yeah,
but you had to go, because ultimately Charlize Theron was there sort of like serving Madonna and getting crushed by a rock. And I'm not gonna not sit for that. I'm seated for that.
And she has like shockingly perfect hair the whole movie, and like sometimes they have a ponytail. Like, you can't, you got to get to the theater for that.
Wait, those are great answers.
That this is where we caught on your answer. Like, what was the culture that made me say culture was for me? Is so funny.
Yeah, Prometheus, man.
You gave us All About My Mother, and we're like, oh, but let's skip Prometheus.
Let's skip
All About My Mother is incredible.
It is.
All About My Mother is incredible. Yeah, Todo Sobre Mi Madre is. It's so good. Penelope Cruz in it, she's like 23 or something. She's like,
yeah.
She looks like an eight. You're like, is this an angel? Is this person real? You know?
Yeah.
And her acting is all of the acting in that movie, and just like the rich colors, and like there's something Almodovar does too, where the acting is extremely fully good, like it's at the highest level, but it's also sort of going melodrama, but you're buying it
fully.
It's an interesting line to ride, because you're never like, oh, this is feeling fake or cheesy. Instead, you're just like, oh, this is like acting times 10, you know, which is so delicious to watch. Mm-hmm. Delicious.
Delicious. Because even like the mother-son relationship in the beginning is so convincing that like...
Yeah, when
And like the way he dies is so... Sorry, spoiler. Like he gets hit by a car or something?
That's like 10 minutes in. Yeah. I don't think that's a big spoiler.
But it's like the way he dies is so melodramatic, because he's like chasing after an actress. He was gay, right? That son? He had to have been. He was like standing an actress.
That is a great question. Maybe he is. Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. He's obsessed with a theater actress.
With a theater actress. Yeah.
I've never picked up on that.
Yeah.
Whoa,
yeah,
I've seen the movie so many times. You're so right.
Well, those are the gayest movies of all time. Like, even Talk to Her. Did you watch Parallel Mothers? You watched Parallel Mothers. I mean, Parallel Mothers.
I haven't seen
it. I didn't see it.
No.
Neither of us
both
did.
Both of you gay men need to get real.
I know.
Wait, who is in Paralama? Is
Penelope
it
Penelope Boo?
One? Yeah.
Penelope. Wait, what's the one with Antonio Banderas that was right before that?
Oh. That was the one where he plays like the fucked up doctor, right? Yeah.
The human voice.
You're thinking of The Skin I Live In.
Yes, the Skin I Live In. That's what I was
thinking. Skin I Live In. Oh, yeah.
There's one where he plays a director just now that was right before. But what's the one that you were talking about that just came out? Oh, Parallel Mothers.
Well, Parallel Mothers. This is just, I mean, it's very clearly to me like one of the best performances that she has ever given, which is like saying something because she is so unbelievably good. She's. She gets lost in the conversation, but I remember
she got nominated, didn't
like
she?
When she got the Oscar nomination for yes, she did, and I think she very came very close to winning.
Wait, there for was what? Like for what?
For Parallel Mothers. Parallel Mothers. You have to see this movie if you love Almodovar. You must see this movie. It is really, really good. And what I love about his movies too is like you were saying, like the colors, the melodrama, the music. It is really for us. Like in a way.
Yeah.
That, like,
oh yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's deeply gay. It's like deeply gay.
Oh yeah.
No,
but
sure,
I love melodrama.
Sure.
It's like it's talking to like soap opera in a way that's like
exactly,
but in an artistic way. I mean, I absolutely.
It's like if soap operas had the time that film has to light and to write, and because so much of the soap opera aesthetic is just
it's the lighting
it, like, that day. It's the lighting and the camera. It's because they have to do it in a day, or don't they do multiple episodes in a day or something?
Oh yeah.
Soap actors work hard. That is like, and so bright.
They really do.
They really work
hard. I mean, Passions. Have we talked about Passions on this podcast, Matt?
You were a little Passions gay?
I was a Passions
gay.
That
was when we were kids, right?
Yeah.
That was when we were kids.
Yeah. I had a friend who watched it. She was always telling me to watch it when I was in elementary school.
There were witches. There were little like dolls that came to life. It was a crazy motherfucking show.
Wow.
You are the passion burning inside of me. That's theme song, sorry.
Well, that's beautiful.
The soaps have been stripped down. There's like one, there's only one soap left now.
That's why we have Real Housewives now, is it's filled the space.
It's like the new soap opera of our generation.
Oh, right.
I mean, that's literally what Andy Cohen says anyway. He's like, you know, I think that the reason why this is such a popular thing is because it actually fills a space in the culture that no longer exists with
media.
Yeah.
Soap
operas
being gone. I remember when I was little, my mom was like a lifelong diehard All My Children fan. Mm. And Bowen and I have talked about this. Mm-hmm, like that being on always. I remember I even got so into it as a kid because the storytelling was so slow. Like I remember they would start an episode on a Monday. The way that like the episodes were structured was like they'd have like a two-person scene and then you'd return to it like four different times in an episode. And by Friday, they were ending that conversation. It was like you essentially were watching two people have a conversation for a week so that literally like people that were at home watching it could be doing everything else in the world.
Right.
But
right.
They like really actively watching the show. Yeah. And in fact, that I think is why, if I really boil it down, why I like The Housewives is because it's the same thing.
It's hard to miss anything too. Yeah, you can always sort of cue back into what's going on.
Yes, everything is five episodes longer than it needs to be. I mean, it's like Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is like Dorit being like, I think I might bring something up to Garcelle. And then three episodes later, she's like, I brought it up. And then and now I'm going to take two episodes to think about how I feel about it.
Wait, do you guys watch Selling Sunset? Did you get into that?
Not the new season. Didn't the new one just come out?
It was good.
Did a brand new one just come out?
No, I don't think yet.
I mean, one came out maybe a few months ago.
Oh, okay. I have not seen the most recent one.
It's so good.
My thing with Selling Sunset is I don't think there's been a new season yet without Christine. And now she's not on the show. Christine Quinn is not on the show anymore. And I'm kind of like, okay, what will that
be? Wait, did she quit?
She's gone. She's gone.
She's gone.
Wait, but they filmed a season without her, but they haven't aired it yet or something? Is that the most?
I think so.
Wow.
Okay, so what's the most recent season that we've all seen? The one where Chriselle is dating one of the twins.
The most recent season.
Okay, then I'm caught up.
Okay.
My thing with Selling Sunset, Brian, is that I'm convinced that all of those people get a list of words at the beginning of each season. You're like, you can only say these words.
These words.
Like, their sentences so, like, simple. Everything they say is, like, a second grader can understand. Like, it's incredible. That's how The Hills was, too.
That's why it's so intoxicating.
Yep.
Absolutely. And if they only have 100 words they can say, for two of the words to be these two words, escrow and Davina, like, it's the world I want to live in going forward. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's the conversation I want to have. I don't want to have the UFO conversation. I want to have conversations about escrow and Davina. And actually, someone that I know saw Davina out in life the other day, and it was like someone told me they saw Gwyneth Paltrow. I was like, where?
Yeah.
Like, that's how I get about, like, these, like, housewives and reality stars. It's just like, you can't tell me they're not the number one. And I'll say this, Chrishell, she is all of us.
Yeah. Is all of us.
She is all of us. And I'm going to be the first to say it. I'm a gay man that saw Adele, cried, and I'm saying that Chrishell Stouse is all of us. And you can go upstate to feel good.
She came from a small town or something, right?
Oh, and also, she was a soap actress.
She came out of soap. Yeah.
It's Rule of Culture number 70. Chrishell came out of soap.
This is such a profound and definitely accurate theory that reality TV is what has replaced soaps.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also just the extremely beautiful women. It's just like, like on Selling Sunset, they look so incredible. I'm like, I can't believe it. And also, I'm just always like, did they sell one house this whole season?
No, that's the really crazy thing.
Did they sell a house at all in the most recent season?
I don't think they've ever sold a house. I don't trust.
I think Chrishell, like, people were talking about Chrishell in the last couple of months because it did come out that she has only sold 6 houses the entire time she's been on the show or something like that.
Okay.
Also not really.
No, but those are major houses.
It's not good.
Is it not?
Maybe.
Yeah, but if each commission is $300,000 and she's selling one every once in a while, she's okay. And she's getting paid for the show too.
But I feel like there are other people at Oppenheim who like do sell like 6 a quarter, like, you know, 10 a year or something. Like, I'm making that up maybe, but
I'm now remembering 2 other words that they're allowed to say, which is Maya. Our friend Sudi always does an impression of Maya, and her impression of Maya is just Jason, the listing. Jason, the listing.
Maya moved back to Miami or something.
I'm so sad. She like moved away and now she's not going to be on the show.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. She's leaving a massive career.
People are moving to Miami. Florida is a growing city.
No, that I understand. I really understand the moving. I was in Miami recently. I was like, this is like a drug.
I bet you go off in Miami, huh?
I mean, no, I haven't been there that much. But I was just on South Beach and I was like, it's like, because also I'm coming from LA where they're like, let's go to the beach. And then you like sit, you're like on a beach that's like a mile deep and the wind is like blasting you and it's like 65. And then they're like, let's get in the water. And it's literally what, like 40 degrees. Like the Pacific is ice cold year round. And then you go to Miami and it's like, small, cute, beautiful beaches, palm trees, warm water.
And let's just say it here right now. Water so clear, you could see to the bottom. $100,000 cars. Everybody got them. Everybody got them. And I know that we don't celebrate Will Smith, but he had a point when he said that.
He did.
Party in the city where the heat is on.
All night on the beach at the break of dawn. Like, what?
That song was formative for me, for sure. Remember when Will Smith's music was just huge?
Massive.
I remember that album.
Was that Millennium?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it's called? Yeah.
It was Millennium. I think that was the only big one. Is there another one that I'm missing? That's the one that I go back
to. No. You're forgetting Just the Two of Us. And you're also forgetting.
I know all the words to that song.
There was never a song that was more important to dance contests and dance routines that children would make than Wild Wild West by Will Smith.
Yeah.
Whenever I'd get together with all my girls, I'm talking about Megan, I'm talking about Carly, I'm talking about my sister Chelsea, I'm talking about these are the girls I would get together with, and we would put on Wild Wild West, and there would be a choreo moment, and you know this move would be somehow in it. Mm-hmm. Which I'm sort of doing the lasso.
Lasso. Oh, yeah.
And also, there's the moment where they go like 1, 2, 3, and there's like a gunshot. Like, certainly a lot of hip action there. Like, so much opportunity. Yeah. Will Smith was huge for the dance contest cousin community. Huge.
Wait, were you in the dance contest, Matt, or just your relatives?
Constantly.
Oh, you were constantly in the dance contest.
And you know what I've never shared? Bowen, I don't think I've ever told you this.
Oh my God.
But I became actually very famous at a lake resort that my parents, not even a lake resort, it was called Woodlock Pines. It was dangerously close to upstate New York. It was in Pennsylvania. It's sort of like for very like middle class people, like you went like really entertaining, fun like activities for the kids. You'd go for a week and you'd go with other families and they had a dance contest like as one of the activities. And
this sounds like the plot of Dirty Dancing.
It's really similar to Dirty Dancing, especially because what ended up happening was I, with my friends, Christina and Megan, we choreographed a dance to Larger Than Life by the Backstreet Boys. And we became celebrities. So we called ourselves MCM, Matt, Christina, Megan.
Wow.
And name Megan is really getting thrown around today, but it's powerful. and there's an energy around it. But I remember we were MCM and I was, of course, the boy. So I was like in the middle. This is like, you know, boy band time. So my hair was like looking ridiculous. And like, I'm telling you, it had to look so gay too. It had to be so gay. But my parents and our family, like friends, were just so in support because what they saw happen was a cultural reset at this lake place. And it was a moment, Bowen. I've never told you that.
It changed America.
It changed America. And I can't believe I'm learning more things about you. I have a question for both of you. Well, I have a question for Matt, which is, would you say that is like one of your first moments of notoriety? Maybe not fame, but like where people like looked at you.
Well, was that the first taste, Matt? That's when you knew I have to have more of this.
You want to know what it was? It was 2002. It was the same summer that American Idol was coming out. And I think I had been like, I think my dick had probably moved for a boy. You know what I mean? And I was like, I was getting the sense that something was different. And I was just like, maybe I'm a star. I think one possibility for my life is I could be a star, actually. I was like, I think I'm interested in this possibility that I'm actually a star. The way that everyone's treating me to that makes you larger than life. Now, which, by the way, now when I hear it is a trigger.
Of course. But that was a moment for you? One of the first tastes?
100%. Yes. And I would imagine that we all, as little gay boys, have had that.
Yes.
Yeah. The first time a crowd like falls for you. I think I was 4. I sang Kokomo like at a talent show and everyone thought it was incredible. And I was like, I am going to be a performer for the rest of my life. This attention is what I need from this day on.
Wow. That is beautiful.
What was yours, Bowen?
Mine was like a Christian youth group camp. Mm-hmm. With like all of literally the coolest Asian people in Denver. And we went up to the mountains and it was skit night.
Skit night.
For some reason, someone wrote into something, into a skit that, you know, was a took place in the modern day.
Set in the present.
I don't remember if it was my idea or someone else's idea. It was me. I walked out. It was a restaurant. And then I walked out as a waiter as Austin Powers, and I did an Austin Powers impression, and I said like, yeah, baby. I think I even said, I didn't say horny, but I said like, do I make you Randy, baby? And that was able to, like,
it destroyed.
And like, if I had said horny, it would have been too scandalous, but it was like a bunch of 13-year-olds who fucking flipped out that I did Austin Powers so well. And then I was like a king the rest of that trip.
Wow.
Yeah.
It launched you.
I can see it so clearly in my mind's eye, you as a baby saying, do I make you horny, baby? And like going for it. And I'm telling you, you should bring that onto Saturday Night Live. You should do Austin Powers on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, I will.
I think Austin Powers would be a really good character for you.
That I agree. Definitely,
you know what's funny though is if you go watch those, well, I don't know if you go watch like a video of them, but I feel like if we saw you doing that, Bowen, or you doing that, Matt, it would still hit. Because when a crowd knows something is good, they're not kidding. They're like, wait, that's fucking funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, can I say something? You're being disrespectful. It wasn't funny. It was really good dancing. I was a star.
Really good.
Being disrespectful. Yes. You know what I mean? Like you said, you think it was funny. Honestly, though, well, I wish, and I don't wish this. But it wouldn't it be wonderful to have had it documented, and how stupid that it wasn't. Like, come on, parents. Where was Richie and Trina with the goddamn camera? Like, get camcorder. This. Because I will say there's nothing more humiliating than, like, and this has happened to me recently as well. Not recently, but it's happened to me in my life where, like, they dig up, like, the old videos from way back, and it's just you earnestly performing or singing. There's a video of me singing Ain't No Mountain High Enough.
But
if it ever came out, I'd be ruined. It's not, Brian.
Yeah, I bet it's really good.
No.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst.
You know, Bowen, I sleep well.
And I know you do.
I attribute that in many ways to the mattress that I sleep on.
We both sleep on the Helix Midnight Mattress. It's given us sweet dreams aplenty. And the Helix lineup offers over 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Luxe and Ultra Premium Elite Collections, the Helix Plus, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and the Helix Kids Mattress, designed for growing bodies and endorsed by child sleep experts everywhere.
Say it again. Take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. Your personalized mattress is shipped right to your door, free of charge.
Everybody's unique, and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences.
Unique, girl. The way you sleep is perfect.
Plus, Helix mattresses all come with a 10 or 15-year warranty, depending on the model.
Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/lasculturistas. That's helixsleep.com/lasculturistas. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wait, Brian, where did you grow up?
I grew up in the super rural Tennessee.
Oh, Tennessee. That's right. That's right. Oh, my gosh.
Tennessee. Where did you guys grow up? You're Long Island, Matt?
I am, yeah.
And you go?
Colorado.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wait, where in Colorado?
Aurora, where there have been many shootings.
Oh, yeah. Is that close to Glenwood Springs? Have you ever been there?
It is not. Hold on. I got to do a quick Google. Let's find out. No, Glenwood Springs is up in the mountains. It's past Aspen, west. If you were to keep driving west to Utah, that's where
Colorado.
It is.
It's good. I hear parts of Colorado are like hot. I was in Denver. I've been in Denver a couple of times recently. Wait, but there's also this thing when you go to have you spent time in Denver, Bowen?
Yeah. Aurora is like a suburb of Denver. But yes.
Oh, okay. There's this thing when you go to Denver and you're like, I'm going to go skiing. And then you book a spot at Breckenridge or something, or at one of the ski resorts. And then you do that drive in and it is the
scariest,
the most bumper to bumper traffic for like 8 hours.
Oh yeah.
It's it gets so clogged up that you're like, oh, I should have just stayed in the small town. Like it's not so accessible to get in and out of the ski resorts.
No.
Do we think we can do anything about that or?
I think there are not direct flights, but you could connect in from Denver to Breckenridge or, I mean, the Aspen is an airport.
You can fly into these skiers?
There's a very small, tiny plane.
I would do that.
Listen, People have done it. People do it all the time there.
Bonby skiing. Yeah.
But we didn't go until like, we just couldn't afford it until like I was in college, and then I didn't start until then.
Are you good at skiing now?
I'm okay at it. You're a skier?
Yeah, I'm okay at it. I would say I'm intermediate. Like if I get on a black diamond, I could
shut up.
I skied in the no, but I would not be good.
No. I know what you're saying. I know exactly what you mean.
So you actually can navigate a black diamond. Like you can really do that. To me, that's like
very poorly.
Oh, okay.
No, like, I mean, I would not. I wouldn't die, but I would go down in a way that most people would think was funny, and people would also be like, "Get out of my way." I think
same.
But I was just in the French. French? No, the Swiss Alps, actually. And I did ski over by the Matterhorn, and it was really cool.
Oh, wow.
But I got on a slope that was way too intense, and I was sort of stopped on it. I was saying to this guy, like, should I do this or should I walk back up? And he was like, you're in it now, go for it. And so I did, and I was like, oh my God, look, I'm doing it. And then I did like hit something and took a really intense tumble and like landed flat.
Damn.
But I was wearing a helmet. It was
Yeah. Gotta gear up.
It was really cool. It was like the mountains are so high that you're actually skiing above the clouds. Like you're on these mountains and you see the clouds like down below because you're so high up.
Wait, that's incredible.
Wow.
I think like skiing as a concept appeals to me, but
very chic.
I really feel like it's kind of like if you decided now like to pick up a guitar and learn it, it's like I don't think I could.
Yeah.
It's like when you try to learn a new language but you're too old or something. Like it's something that I just missed the boat on it. And it's like that with skiing. It's like that with
you've
like,
never done it once, man.
I've never ever once.
I actually disagree, and I think
you could pick it.
I think you could pick it up. I really do.
It's easier than snowboarding to learn.
Yes.
Which is really weird to me. Like that does not compute in my brain that like skiing would be easier than snowboarding. But then I guess it makes sense. But also it was funny too, because when I was a little kid, like all the video games that I would play were all like intense, like the snowboarding video games. Like, do you remember like SSX Tricky? I used to love that shit.
Wow.
You had the hots for Simon. You always talk about Simon.
Oh my God. Yes, I did have the hots for Simon. Like that thing, that very, very visceral thing of really wanting to fuck a video game character.
Yeah. And that happens. Yeah.
I've had that a lot in my life.
I mean, yeah, a lot of them were beautiful professional athletes turned into video game characters. Was this a real person or no, he was just a video game character?
He was computer animated and a playable character in a snowboarding video game. And I don't remember who voiced him, but I do remember that one of the characters was voiced by Macy Gray.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I remember thinking that was so fucking cool. Like that Macy Gray went into the booth and like,
That Macy Gray song was so big when we were growing up. That was song
dominated.
It was such a good song. It is such a good song.
Anytime it came on the radio, you would freak.
I know. Sometimes I look back and I'm just like, things would take over in such a massive way that it's like, what takes over like that? And everything moves like, it feels like a little bit faster now, you know? Like when All Star by Smash Mouth was out, it was like you would hear it 100 times a day for like, a year and a half or something. Yeah. It was like so crazy.
Longer than that, it seems.
Yeah, it was like a decades long affair.
That song was culture. Yeah.
But I think it's especially meaningful now if something really hits, because it's people really making a choice to go and then like see it, hear it, engage with it. So I feel like, not to bring it back to Megan, but like Megan like was a really special thing, I think, for like these times where it's like, oh, everyone's talking about this one thing at the same time, and that never happens anymore.
I agree. That was part of what was so cool about it. It was like, oh my, it sort of felt like the movies are back. It was like, whoa, people are going to the theater over and over again to see this movie. And it just, it's such a good movie. It's so fun. Like self-aware. It's so like, it knows its own joke, but then it also just has a really good plot. And I think what was so cool about Megan too, was like everybody was obsessed with the ad campaign, and it was really well done. But then I think everybody expected the movie to be bad. And then the fact that the movie was just super entertaining and well made, and I think it was just a shock to people that it was like a really great movie, you know? And so it was sort of a 1-2 hit. But you're right, it was cool because it was like, oh, I don't remember the last time there's been sort of a cultural moment, you know, around a movie like this. It was cool.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of projects, just before we get into Alan Thinks Funny, tell us a little bit about the FX show. What can you say?
Can you say?
So obviously I can't share a lot, but what I can say is are the facts, which is it is an amazing project that I'm extremely excited about with FX. We shot the pilot already. Mm. And now we are in the process of writing some more of it. And it's all very exciting and it's all looking really great. FX has been great to work with. The cast is awesome. And that, I believe, is all I should say right now. But yeah, it's really cool and exciting. And it's what I'm here in New York working on. So it's like, it's been such a dream come true. And like I was saying before, I got tired of the city a little bit. It's so cool to be like brought to New York. You know, it feels very fancy.
Very chic.
You know, because New York, when you're like, I was a young struggling actor in LA in a way that I do not envy people that had to do that in New York. I feel like it's easier to do that in LA, but coming to New York with a job and, you know, is like, just feels very like, oh my God, you get sort of dropped into being this cool city person, except I don't, you know where any of the parks are. And I don't really know what upstate is.
But I'm telling you, you never have to go to Central Park.
Oh my God. What is this campaign?
I love that you're sort of the rep for like
anti-Central Park sentiment.
Look, you went out to upstate New York and you got nature and you're fine. Okay? You figured it out.
No, but because that's the other thing. It's like Central Park is so big and beautiful, but it also, it's like actually in the center of, so there's like city on all sides. So
it's,
I'm like,
annoying.
I'm looking for fresh air. And if there's city all around it, how fresh can the air be? I don't know.
Oh.
Maybe the air is.
When you actually find out just how fake the park is, like Central Park is so fake. Like those rocks are fake. Like none of it's real. You know what I'm saying? Like so fake.
There's this park in Atlanta, Piedmont Park, that is also very beautiful. And it was designed by the same guy who designed Central Park. And I remember somebody telling me that.
Oh, Piedmont was Olmsted? Wow.
Frederick Law Olmsted or something. Right.
But that, when somebody told me that, that was the first time I realized that parks are even designed, because I was so bought into the fact that they were, I thought I was just like in the forest when I'm in the park, but it's like,
it was not even once forest. It's fake. And it's, they put it together.
What was it before? It used to be skyscrapers. It was naturally occurring skyscrapers.
No.
Yeah. Took them down.
I think it was literally like grassland. I don't think it's as fake as Matt is saying. But no, Brian, you should go to Prospect.
Is Prospect Park in Brooklyn?
Prospect Park is in Brooklyn. That's another Olmsted park. Like really beautiful. Okay. And you love Fort Greene. You love McCarran. A lot of fun, cute, beautiful people go. I don't know. How long are you going to be in the city for?
I'm here for quite a while. I'm here until the end of April, so like another month and a week.
Okay, great. It'll warm up. It'll be great. That's so cool though, because I feel like people obviously know you as an amazing performer, but I feel like you wrote Caleb Gallo, right?
Yeah,
obviously.
Yeah.
It's so well written.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Singular,
honey. Yeah, I know, and it's interesting doing that in a
official capacity.
More traditional. Yeah, in an official capacity. Yeah. But it's been really, I there's this great guy working on the show with us, Paul Sims, who's such a genius. And he did Atlanta with Donald Glover, and he does What We Do in the Shadows. And he's such a wonderful guide for sort of the parts of it that are new to me. And he's been such a blessing. It's really great.
Well, good for you and good for us.
And the writers in the writer's room are so great. And everyone is so great. Yeah.
I can tell it's going to be fucking great. You deserve it. I honestly, like, if there's anyone who deserves it, it's you. We're proud of you. We're happy for
you.
Thank
you so much.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly. Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Stadtsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. you'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Las Culturistas listeners, we're here to tell you that there's no reason to panic the next time you're searching for the perfect gift. Now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy.
Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting so you can find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion.
It's easy. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com, then answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like. And Gift Mode instantly gives you curated gift ideas based on hundreds of personas.
There's a lot of pressure around gifting. I usually have a hard time thinking of gift ideas for the birthdays of loved ones in my life. And sometimes I do get super stressed trying to find that perfect thing.
Me too. But now with Gift Mode on Etsy, I can search hundreds of gifting personas and find so many incredible items. And I actually just found a custom chalk bag for the adventurer in my life who's into rock climbing.
Not me. Now it's simple to find gifts made by independent sellers for all the people in your life. So, whether you need a housewarming gift for the new homeowner in your life or a birthday present for the pickleballer in your life, Gift Mode has you covered.
I'm not the pickleballer. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
This is the moment where we're going to segue into I Don't Think So, Honey, which is really our big segment, Bo, I would say. I'd call it the big segment.
Yes. It's the big one. I gotta get my phone.
Okay, that's going to be important because the reason why Bowen needs to get his phone, this is sort of a peek behind the curtain, readers, is because we put 1 minute on the clock and we rail against something in culture that needs to be absolutely dragged. I feel like I have something. I don't want to target a specific person at the Adele concert last night, but I'm going to... Are you going to specifically target someone this week?
Not someone at the Adele concert, but someone specifically. And I haven't done that in a while, but yeah.
Got it. Okay, so this person is going to be, she represents something bigger. And I also just want to say before I do this, that I also saw another concert, which I immediately texted Bowen about, which is Chapel Roan. Fucking get on board, everyone. This girl is going to be a huge star. Okay, now I'm ready.
She's incredible.
Yeah.
My Kick is Karma. Listen to that song first.
My Kick is Karma is a legendary, powerful song that will be remembered and stand the test of time.
Okay. This is Matt Rogers. I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. You shush people singing along at the Adele concert. I have news for you. You were in Las Vegas, Nevada. We're singing along. Like, I Don't Think So, Honey. If you don't
There's no code of conduct.
No. Please. It is the Wild West in Las Vegas, Nevada, which is a rural culture number 70.
It is the Wild West in Las Vegas, Nevada.
And that means I'm singing. You know what? Here's what you have to do. At a show like Adele, let her sing the verses.
30 seconds.
Let her sing the first chorus. And then the rest of the choruses are ours.
That's right.
And also iconic moments in certain verses that we all know. You know what I mean? Like, we all know, like, what we're singing along to and what we're not. No one was being disrespectful. There was one woman who sort of tossed a glance over to me and my friends. And it was, I didn't even make an issue of it because I was too in my moment, in my feelings, but don't be shushing me at the Adele concert. We're all here. We can hear her very well. You can deal with me for 1 second. We're having a cathartic experience. It is open sobbing season. I don't think so, honey.
And that's one minute.
The openly sobbing community is also the openly singing community at Adele Weekends with Adele.
Beautiful.
Which, by the way, I think is like almost over. So you can't even go. Even if you wanted to go and you listen to this, you can't go. Wow.
But other people, it's like the whole crowd was singing along.
It was a very communal, cathartic experience. And we were, and there's just, there was one woman, I think, I don't even remember what song it was, but I was like, it might have even, it wasn't anything up tempo because like no one was being that ridiculous. But I think there was one ballad where it's just like someone maybe just jumped in or chimed in on one thing and you got a dirty look. It's like, not here. This is a place of good energy and we're supporting each other and we're actually holding hands. Do not look at me. When I sing along with Adele,
it's just futile. And at that point, it's like, what do you do? There's no point.
And someone got in the DMs and they were like, how do we feel about everyone singing along? And like, you can't even hear her. And I didn't even respond because I was like, how do I feel about it? I'm participating.
Someone DM'd you during the concert?
Wait, what do you mean somebody got in the DM?
Somebody got in the DMs.
Oh, in your DMs. Oh,
I posted
I thought there were like some public DMs or something.
I literally was.
Thought there was a Discord. I didn't know what the DM was.
No, the DM's like, I posted, I think it was her doing, maybe it was hello, just because it was the first number. And I posted it, and yes, breaking news, everyone was singing along to Hello post. By Adele. And someone said to me, how do we feel about everyone singing along? And I'm like,
wait, it's because there was just that thing that went viral of somebody singing. Did you guys see this?
No.
I think it was either Billie Eilish or Taylor Swift, but there's something that's going viral right now on Twitter. And I think that's why it's on everyone's minds, that somebody is filming a concert and then you can hear the person right next to the person who's filming singing over it very loudly and badly. But the difference is, I'm sure you were singing very well. So they just should have appreciated
it. I can't confirm or deny that I was just as big of a star last night as I was when I was a little kid hitting that stage, absolutely slaying larger than life choreo. I can't confirm or deny. But the
I did a summer camp performance. The fucking
what was it?
The other one? I Want It That Way or something.
Oh yeah!
In
that same Backstreet Boys moment.
And I bet you were incredible. I bet you were incredible. Like, I'm thinking about you doing that, and I'm like, I know it was stirring.
I think the difference is, I think it was lip syncing. You were really singing, right?
No,
dancing.
Oh, you guys were also lip syncing. Oh, dancing only.
Dancing. I can't actually see. This is a thing. Like, and I'm talking to all my girls out there who are maybe still doing dance contests and dance routines. You really have to get on the same page with your girls about like whether or not you're lip syncing the song or not, because I think that I was sort of the stand-in for like lead singer being the boy out of the three of us. Like, I may have been lip syncing, which also had to have been humiliating, and I don't think the girls were lip syncing. I can't be sure.
So you sort of inadvertently turn them into your backup dancers.
Yeah, I mean, like, I have news for them.
Wait, can we talk about quickly how Backstreet Boys really gave us like just a small enough trap door for like closeted boys in that time to like do something? We're able to channel something a little gay, but palatable and appealing enough to like everybody.
You are hitting on something so deep. Exactly.
We have to be thankful for the Backstreet Boys. We really do.
You have like a good detective nose for these sort of gay.
No one has an amazing nose for gay.
I didn't pick up on the gay son in All About My Mother, and I didn't pick up on the fact that Backstreet Boys, they were offering something to us as gay kids.
Well, as soon as you said
it was the metrosexual era. We forget.
That was such a big moment.
Which, by the way, is such a humiliating thing that was so widely accepted. The idea of the metrosexual, like, how dare these people actually use their butts for sex, but we love when they, and we love and respect and understand that they want to do their hair. Like, it's like, that era of sexual shame but pride and appearance was intrinsically tied to that musical moment, ripe time in the culture in the late 90s, early aughts, where it was, you know, Clay Aiken, Ryan Seacrest, like men who absolutely love vagina. Can't even get into it with them. They want to talk about it all night.
Wait, question. Do you guys think of Backstreet Boys as having been way bigger than NSYNC, or do you think of them as exactly the same fame level? Or do you think of NSYNC as bigger?
I feel like NSYNC got bigger once they hit their peak.
Yeah, I remember Backstreet Boys coming first, and I remember they were like the moment, and then NSYNC was like sort of the Christina Aguilera, if you will.
They really were the Christina Aguilera, the Pepsi. There's always the Pepsi. Yes.
There's always the Pepsi. Yes. It's rule culture number 8. There's always the Pepsi.
Wait, but did Britney do the amazing Pepsi ad, or did she do the amazing Coke ad?
And I believe Christina was Diet Coke or Coke. Like they so transparently gave her the other one. Like, and but this is a world where, like, so I think it was different because Backstreet Boys was first, and then NSYNC came along, and then I think kind of took over. And this would be a world where Christina Aguilera had come along after Britney and taken over, which is, of course, a world we don't live in. Bowen Yang, are you ready to do your I Don't Think So, Honey?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, well, that's good. This is Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey. Time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, Larsa Pippen, maybe soon to be Larsa Pippen Jordan. your behavior at the reunion for the Real Housewives of Miami is truly beyond the pale. How dare you tell Dr. Nicole that being an anesthesiologist is not a real job? Sure, like, anesthesiologists get, like, shat on within the medical community, but, like, the only people you have to thank are doctors, Larsa. The only people you have to thank are doctors and basketball players. You cannot come after this woman for, like, working in a hospital and then literally, like, fucking her career up potentially by saying that she's fucked every doctor in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And part of me is like, it's refreshing that Larsa is sort of like flipping occupational stigma on its head. Like, let's time we've given doctors some guff or something.
5 seconds.
But, and it is revolutionary for her as an OnlyFans foot model to like really come after her. But it's not, it's not the move. Larsa is fully an idiot by the end of the whole reunion.
And that is 1 minute. And I'm so happy you brought it up, because watching Larsa Pippen, who is famously an OnlyFans foot model, say to a medical doctor that she actually has a real job was one of the craziest things I've ever seen. And Brian, if you're going to get into a Housewives, it has to be Real Housewives of Miami. And Miami has, of course, come up on the episode prior, but they have a Real Housewives franchise in that city that is doing, as they say, what the other girls were supposed to have done.
Yeah,
it is high art. This reunion is unhinged, to say nothing of Adriana's behavior that is so crazy, to say nothing of Alexia. Her saying to Lisa Hochstein that her husband would have stayed with her if she thought she was a star. If you believed you were a star,
if she had more confidence.
If she had more confidence.
Yeah.
She is wild. I said she's Teresa Giudice with more words per minute, which is not good. But I have no notes. This is the best television that is on. And I implore, just as we did several years ago, Bo, with Potomac, we told everyone, don't sleep on Potomac. Do not be sleeping on The Real Housewives of Miami. It is high art.
Brian, if you like Selling Sunset,
what season should you start on?
You can start on 4.
You can.
You can start on 4. But if you like Selling Sunset, you will love Miami. And okay, you can start on 4 because that's when they rebooted it on Peacock. So you can watch it on Peacock.
Oh, okay. Peacock.
Yeah. Okay, we're the biggest supporters of Peacock that are out there. Like, we unironically talk about Peacock constantly.
Megan is also on Peacock, by the way.
Megan is on Peacock.
That's not a mistake. And you know what else is on Peacock? Tar.
Tar?
Yes, hon. Tar is streaming now.
Because nothing says Peacock like Lydia Tar.
I will say it's rule of culture number 1. Tar is streaming now on Peacock.
Thank you, Donna Langley, head of Universal. Sorry, go ahead.
You guys don't know the people that run that Lydia Tar Twitter account, do you? It's so funny.
No, but I want to find them so I can vote for them for president of the United States.
No, it's very funny.
She's always tweeting shit like looking for a new young female assistant, like looking to help someone who's new to the industry. Lydia Tar is such an icon.
She's an icon.
I did think she was real the whole movie. I know everyone had confusion about this. I know. I was in the same club. It's something about how specific the movie is where you go, oh, well, this is probably somewhat fictionalized, but I bet this is really based on somebody real, which maybe is kind of true, but there's parts of the movie where you're like, wait, this has to be historical. This has to be a person. It's just not. I love how she drives that cream-colored Porsche around Berlin.
And it's the way Kate performs it.
Yeah, it's the way Kate... Right, the way Kate performs it makes you think it's a biopic, basically. Yeah. It's giving biopic acting. Yeah.
It will always... Lydia Tarr, you will always be famous. And
you will always be real. You will always be real.
You will always be real. And
you will always have existed. Yeah, you will
have existed.
Okay, so this is sort of the... Part when, to quote Ariana Grande... Brian, you do your I don't think so, honey. Are you ready for this?
Great. I am ready. I'm hoping I have a minute's worth of
content. Okay, I think you do. This is Brian Jordan Alvarez's I don't think so, honey. His time starts now.
Okay, I don't think so, honey. These fake TikTok pranks that are so obviously fake and everybody is laughing at them like they're real. And then my boyfriend shows me these like, and I go... And I just, there's just something subtle going on in them where like you can tell, like, even if that prank had been real, the way the person's reacting, they're definitely acting the way somebody would act if they knew it's acting. Even if it's good acting, you can tell if it's acting. And then my boyfriend, who I love, obviously, will show them to me, and I'll go, that's fake. And he'll go, who cares if it's fake? It's funny. And I'm like, who doesn't care if it's fake? This is only funny because it's supposed to be not fake.
Right. 15 seconds.
If this is supposed to be a fictional narrative video, then I'm going to be laughing at different things. That this is supposed to be documentary nonfiction.
Yes.
And I'm supposed to be laughing at the reality of this. And this is not real. So I care. I don't think so, honey.
Period. That was excellent. That's 1 minute.
I'm free.
You're really right.
Isn't that so true, though? Has anybody ever done that where they're like, well, who cares if it's fake? And it's like, what do you mean?
It makes all the difference. Yeah.
It makes all the difference.
Wasn't there a kid who like covered his whole kitchen in peanut butter or something? Like every
break.
Every cupboard door, the fridge.
That fake shit off my timeline.
Yeah. It's also not a prank. That's just a mess.
It's not a prank. It's a mess.
I know the expression prank these days is so loose. It's like, no, I think you just hit someone, actually. I don't think that was a prank.
You just assaulted someone.
That's just
someone.
Physical violence.
Yeah, and that's just cruelty that you posted.
I feel like pranks have like lifted off of April Fools. Like no one really gives a shit about April Fools anymore. But they're like proliferated through TikTok.
I know. April Fools really has fallen off.
It's fallen off for sure. Maybe it's like there's a Gen Z affinity to it because I guess like Jim would do it on The Office a lot with like prank Dwight or whatever the fuck. And so now these kids are like, oh, pranks are the highest form of art and comedy. Let's do it on TikTok.
Exactly.
It's too much.
Literally, it's just because it's a light lift and you can literally just post it. It's like what people who are obsessed with fails. You know what I mean? Like, and that always drove me nuts. Like, I can't sit through fails. I can't sit through like when, oh, here's a video of someone, get this, getting really hurt. I can't do it. Here's a video of someone skateboarding and what happens to them? They probably should be dead. Do you want to watch it again? Like, no, I don't.
I know. Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, it never makes me laugh. Yeah, because you're just like, are they dead? Like, what happened? Like, what's the conclusion of this film? You know, are they
right?
Okay?
Mm-hmm. And then the thing is, you don't want the answer to that question sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Like, because sometimes, sometimes get this, like, you put the phone down and said, haha, that was funny. Mama's dead. You know what I mean?
Mama's dead.
Wait, Matt, on the subject of falling, though, you should learn to ski. I think you could learn to ski.
Yeah.
I think it would kind of be a chic look for me, too.
I picture it.
It is. It's such a chic. You feel so cool.
Yeah.
When you do. I have yet to go to a gay ski week, but I think that's going to be the highest.
Apparently, there's one happening right now, right?
They have them all the time. I mean.
Oh, okay.
It's all the time.
It's endless.
Oh, what?
No, I mean, they have them in different cities. Is there one nearby?
It's like
right
Mammoth Ski Week, I believe. And like tons of gays are not like in LA because they're all skiing. And I was like, huh? I was like, what?
Oh, wait. Are you guys in LA? No, you're in LA, Matt.
I am in Los Angeles, California.
Did you move to LA?
Yes.
Or you don't have to reveal that to these.
No, I'm open about the fact that I moved to LA for about 5 years ago. And I just got another place in New York. So I'm gonna be bi-coastal. I'm gonna live in New York City and Los Angeles, California. Yeah, no, it's exciting. It's good. I'm excited about it. The new era, the new chapter.
I want to hear how that goes.
The rest is still unwritten. Did you hear what my voice just did? I sounded like a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
You were screaming at Adele last night. Hold on. One last thing. If I were to watch Tar, it doesn't make a difference to me if Tar is real or fake.
Oh my God. That is the one exception.
Wow.
You have an amazing nose, Bowen.
Wow.
No, it's an amazing nose. Thank you.
Oh my God.
Thank you so much.
Now, was anything gay happening in Tar is the question.
100.
No, I don't think there was a single queer person in Tar.
What if I watched that movie and I had not? I feel like it is possible to watch that movie and maybe not pick up on the fact that she's a lesbian. What if I watched it and I was like,
that's so
because her wife could have just been like her good sis.
So the film's about her and her friends, or what is the
Now I have to watch it tonight.
Listen to with them. My voice is literally telling me it's time to rap because I'm a rap. Wait, Brian, this was so fun. And thank you so much for doing the show.
We love you. Thank you so much for coming on.
Love you both so much.
And you gotta come back.
Yeah, I would love to.
The three of us have to get together and be stupid in person.
Go to a park.
Can't wait. Let's go to a park. Let's go to Prospect Park.
Stream Megan on Peacock, but not before Tar. And we end, oh God, Bowen, I'm dying. We end every episode with a song.
Okay.
So won't you take it?
Take it!
Take it all!
I don't know the rest. I don't know the rest.
Don't look back at this crumbling fools.
Now, do you do the end? It's so iconic.
So take it all.
I'm not really phoning. I'm not really enunciating the word. What is it?
You sounded like Adele. You have an amazing nose and an amazing voice. Amazing nose, amazing voice.
Thank you
everyone for listening to this episode of Lost Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang. It just won the best podcast award at the iHeartRadio Podcast Awards. We are the best podcast in the world. Thank you so much.
Wow. Thank you.
Critical acclaim
and award winning.
Feels incredible. 7 years in the game.
Finally award winning.
We're an award winning podcast. There's none better. Sorry, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
You know that I feel like it's really important to express yourself.
I know that about you.
You got to put your true self out there, okay? And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do just that.
Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean, literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know, it doesn't get more comfortable than Croc clogs and sandals. They're just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
When the music of Celine Dion makes sweet Canadian love with the Oscar-winning film Titanic, you get Titanic, a campy, unhinged, chaotic night out.
Find out what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night from Celine Dion's totally real and historically accurate perspective.
Some say Titanic is the best gay nightclub in the city, and those people are me.
And me. So set sail with this kooky crazy off-Broadway hit and get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.
Get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.